Hi, and good morning. Hello. Scripture reading today is from Numbers 27, verses 1 through 11. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came forward. The names of his daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Michal, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the congregation of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the congregation of Korah, but died of his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." Moses brought the case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers and pass the inheritance of the father on to them. You shall also speak to the Israelites, saying, 'If a man dies and has no son, then you shall pass his inheritance on to his daughters. And if he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and an ordinance, as the Lord commandeth Moses.'" This be the words of the Lord. Amen.
Please pray with me in your hearts. Lord God, we live in a time of much concern and uncertainty and difficulty. And we need your presence. We need your word. We need the foundation of your love and your mercy. So thank you for the church. Thank you for Community Church and for us being able to be with you in your presence and also with one another this morning. And God, we have come because we want to be encouraged, we want to be challenged. So please let your word speak to all of us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm doing a series called I See You. And we're living in challenging times, I think you would agree, and the general election is only a few weeks away. Temperatures are running high, and there's a huge partisan divide amongst the American people. And God, who created us, loves and sees all of us in our full humanity. But as people, we can fall into the habit of assuming everyone is the same. Everyone is like me. Everyone should be like me. We all should have the same convictions and the same views on different things and the same beliefs. While we share a common humanity, these assumptions can be harmful, okay? They can prevent us from seeing other people for who they are. Your assumptions about other people can stop you from listening to their perspectives. And so we're looking at some biblical stories that will help us learn how to see others, how to listen to others, how to respect others, and affirm and act for and with others so that we can also come to know God even more fully. And so last week we looked at the story of the blind beggar who was sitting by the roadside and who called out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And he was an outsider. He was living on the margin. And Jesus heard his voice. And Jesus stopped. And Jesus acknowledged him. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And by doing that, Jesus reminds us of the importance of listening to the voices on the margins, the voices on the side of the road, to be open to listen to other voices. However, it's not enough to just listen. We must also act. A few months ago, if you remember, we did a fundraiser for Mosaic. And Mosaic is an organization in South Africa, where I grew up. And their vision is to see that every orphan and vulnerable child across Africa has a loving and caring family where they can be equipped to realize their full God-given potential. And by the way, there are more than 5 million orphans in South Africa alone. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when you look at the continent of Africa as a whole. So simply put, there's an enormous need. So this past Monday evening, Annalise and I hosted a dinner for the CEO of Mosaic, Mayor Conradi, who's currently visiting the U.S. And he was accompanied by Karen Baker, one of Mosaic's founding board members and representative in the U.S. And some members of consistory were present, and I invited a few clergy and church leaders from some local congregations in our community to just come and listen to him with no agenda and his vision for orphan care. And I'd say it was a moving and meaningful evening. And Mayor talked about how they moved the focus from individual orphan care to family-based care. And he explained the three layers of their programs and how they measure the impact of their work with numbers, with real statistics. How more than 85% of the money they raise goes directly to the families. And he shared some stories, some moving stories of how Mosaic impacts the lives of these vulnerable children. But here is the reason why I'm talking about Mosaic this morning. Mayer and his wife Louise founded Mosaic in 2008 after graduating from college. And growing up in South Africa, Mayer always wanted to be a politician to help people in poverty. And then he quickly realized the change he was hoping to see was just not going to happen from the top down, but rather from the bottom up. And Mayer and Louise, who had been devastated after working on a research paper about the massive number of orphans living in South Africa, realized they were being called to do something about the issue. And from that moment on, they've dedicated their lives to changing South Africa's orphan care system from the bottom up. And that was the beginning of Mosaic. In other words, they not only heard the voices of all those children on the side of the road, they started doing something about it. When they learned about the need, they were moved to act on their behalf. Seeing these vulnerable children on the side of the road compelled them to act. So you and me, have we ever heard about or saw a story of inequity and felt moved to act on behalf of the other? Let's look at our passage from Numbers 27. And by the way, I've never preached on this passage before. But it's kind of like interesting. And here's what we see. In ancient Israel, there was the tradition that only sons had the right of inheritance. Women were not able to inherit any property. And that was the cultural practice. However, despite this practice, Zelophehad's daughters challenged the tradition of their time. They spoke to the leaders and said, "Our father left no sons to carry on his family name. But why should his name die out for that reason? Give us some land like the rest of his relatives in our clan, so our father's name can live on." So they said, "Why should our father's name die out from his clan just because he had no sons? Give us an inheritance among our father's relatives." They challenged the tradition and the practice, and they asked Moses and the other leaders for their father's property. And what we see is that the leaders did not simply dismiss their appeal. They were open. They listened to it. And Moses took it to God. And Moses asked the Lord, "What should be done?" And the Lord answered, "Zelophehad's daughters are right. They should each be given part of the land their father would have received." God listened to the daughters and he affirmed them. And because of this, the legal code was rewritten. So now after this change, if you had no sons, you could give the inheritance to your daughters. And when you study the Bible, this is not an isolated incident. Jesus openly challenged laws and traditions that were exclusive by nature. He denounced the religious leaders because they heaped an impossible burden on ordinary people of following the letter of the law. And according to Jewish law, you were not allowed to touch someone who was leprous because it would make you unclean. And Jesus touched a man with leprosy to demonstrate that love and compassion made the rule redundant. The law said you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. But the religious leaders were quite willing to save an animal on the Sabbath. And so Jesus said, "If you are willing to do that, why can I not heal someone on the Sabbath?" In Jesus' day, it wasn't considered right for a man to speak to a woman who was a stranger and certainly not one of a doubtful character or of another ethnic race. But again, Jesus wasn't going to be tied up down with convention when he met a woman at a well in Samaria and he held a long discussion with her. He saw the image of God reflected in those whom society deemed unworthy. And he enthusiastically invited them into the kingdom of God. Because you see, God will step in to break tradition in order to bring justice to those who up until now have been excluded, those who've been deemed unworthy. But here is the thing. God includes us in bringing about justice. God includes us in bringing about justice. The women stood up for what they believed to be right. They acted on their convictions. And likewise, Moses first listened and then he acted. So are we as God's people, are we as followers of Jesus, willing to listen and then act? When, like Mayor Conradi and his wife, when we see a great need, are we willing to do something about it? When we see something that is wrong, are we willing to stand up for what is right? I don't know how many of you have ever been on the sidelines or marginalized. Maybe because of your background and education and social status, you've never felt like an outsider. Or perhaps you had to overcome some long-held tradition or practice that stopped you from receiving what you needed or felt was a basic human right. Maybe as a person of color or as an immigrant or someone speaking with an accent. Maybe as a woman in the workforce. You know, there was a time in the Reformed Church of America when women were not allowed to serve as elders. There was a time when women were not allowed to be ordained as pastors. And yet, what would the church be today if it were not for women? If we did not change that tradition? Because I can honestly say to you, women are the backbone of the church. I know I made the title for today's sermon, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, but I think it's fair to say that sisters are doing it for everyone else as well. And the church would not exist, I mean, this congregation would not exist, if it were not for our women. And I want you to know that I appreciate who women are and what they mean and do for the church and particularly for community church. The question is, was there a time when a long-held tradition discouraged or intimidated you from acting on behalf of someone else, particularly someone excluded by that tradition? The Bible talks about true obedience to God, and it says in Micah, "What offering should I bring when I bow down to worship the Lord God Most High? Should I try to please Him by sacrificing calves a year old? Will thousands of sheep or rivers of oil make God satisfied with me? Should I sacrifice to the Lord my firstborn child as payment for my terrible sins? The Lord God has told us what is right and what He demands. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern and humbly obey your God." It's about justice. It's about mercy. It's about obedience. And the need is great. And the need is overwhelming. And you're probably thinking, when we look at the world and all that's going on, how can we even make a difference? For instance, if there are 5 million orphaned children, vulnerable children in South Africa, alone, how can we help with a need that is so, so vast? And you're thinking and you're saying, we are incapable of changing the world. And I think you're right. We cannot necessarily change the world, but we can certainly change a person's world. We can certainly change one child or one family's world. Did you know that as a congregation, we can support one Mosaic family in South Africa for a whole year with a donation of only $2,500? Think about that. We can change a child's world, a child's future. And as a consistory, we will certainly discuss the possibility of supporting a family in South Africa through Mosaic, a And I have connections with that family. And how we can offer you the opportunity to help make a difference. Zelophehad's daughters challenged the tradition of their time. And what we see in our text for today is that God extended the table wider to include those at the margins. In this particular case, women. We have a lot of traditions in our churches, in our communities, in our world. And sometimes we're not exactly sure why they even exist. Why they exist in the first place. Some even inadvertently exclude people. So how is God calling us to widen our table to include people and voices that have been excluded? Who do we need to listen to? And how are we being called to show mercy and act for justice? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for this passage that we sometimes don't even see, we just read over it. But how these women challenged the tradition. And because of that, how you enabled justice to be done and for them to be included, supposed to be excluded. And I honestly want to thank you today from the bottom of my heart for the women of the church, the women who serve, the women who encourage, the women who seem to do everything. Thank you for them, for their ministry, for their lives, for their faith, for their example. And may they inspire and encourage all of us, not just to listen, but to do more. I pray that your spirit will move us. In the name of Jesus, amen.